Thank you, Micah. Good morning, Presbyterian Church of the Covenant. We are here to, We're here to worship Jesus Christ, to live out God's love, and to transform community by the Holy Spirit. I think most of you know me. I'm Amy Hemsary, an elder here and a candidate for ministry in the PCUSA. Pastor Jason and a few other PCC families are out in the desert having a family camp. I'm really happy we're here because I think out in the desert it's over 100. They'll be back with us next week. Joining me this morning in leading worship is our very own Pastor Pat Thompson. He will be presiding over the communion table today. Please read the bulletin. It is chock full of information. I'd like to highlight a few things. This is the first Sunday of the month, so we have our luncheon. And as I understand, we're having a pizza party today. So, I know. It brings out the teenager in all of us. Please join us after services. And then Wednesday is the lunch bunch. It's going to be at Polly's Pies in Huntington Beach. And if you are interested in attending, please find Lou. There she is. Please find Lou after the service and make sure that she has your name so they will expect you. All are welcome for lunch bunch. Next Sunday, our own parish nurse, Juliana, will be back with us, and she'll be conducting the blood pressure clinic. Our numbers are important, so please come and get your numbers checked next week with her. And then lastly, our Operation Christmas Child Mission Project. This month, for the month of August, our donation items, if you so feel inclined, are small toys and small stuffed animals. With that, please stand and greet each other with a holy fist bump. I'll start calling you all back. It's a little bit like herding cats. We let them all out. Will you please stand this morning for our call to worship? Our call this morning comes from Psalm 18. Come, give thanks to our God. God's steadfast love endures forever. God is our strength and might and salvation. Because of this love, we shall not die. This is God's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Let us continue with our worship, singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Thank you. tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. My Savior, joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
I want to hear just the ladies.
My Jesus,
just a minute.
My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength.
Everyone,
let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Sing nothing.
Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Would you pick that up, Jeff? Something very remarkable about stillness, quiet. We live in a world of distraction and noise. And yet it is said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You cannot hear the voice that is constantly speaking until you listen. And in order to listen, you must quiet oneself. It's a really good reminder as we start this week to remember to be still.
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored. When you call, I won't refuse. Each new day again, I'll choose. No one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring you praise. crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring you praise. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified to set. To set me free. Now I live to bring him praise.
Every week at worship, we admit to God, each other, and ourselves that we do not live our lives in the way that God truly and fully desires for us. So join me in our time of confessional prayer. O merciful God, we confess we have not turned away from sin. You call us to study the scriptures, but we are easily distracted. You ask us to be persistent in prayer, but we are quickly discouraged. We anger at the slightest insult and imagine vengeance upon those who have wronged us. We care for ourselves, but not always for others. So we pray for forgiveness, for your goodness and mercy, so that we might dwell fully in you and fully in your grace forever. Help us today to be honest and sincere in our repentance and make us whole. Write your word in our hearts so that we may truly know you and joyfully serve you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us.
Christ reigns in power for us, and Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone and the new life has begun. People of God, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And thanks be to God. Please join in our joyful response.
Thank you very much, Cornell and Micah. That was utterly beautiful, really beautiful. Well, welcome. We are continuing in our summer series, working through a book called Mudhouse Sabbath by Lauren Winner, using that as our guide. And this week, we are looking at Tefillah, which means prayer. Winner explores the Jewish understanding of prayer, which is far more structured than how most of us are in our prayer life. She highlights the importance of praying in community, as well as the use of liturgical prayers, and we're going to touch on this. The practice of prayer that most of us are familiar with is much more intimate and personal. Our willingness to pray presupposes that there is a God who hears us, and our God is willing to communicate with us. So when we pray knowing that God hears us, and we believe that God will help us. Today's scripture reading focuses on prayer. It focuses on our conversational relationship with God. And at its core, the understanding of prayer simply means communicating with God, seeking His guidance, expressing our gratitude, and this one's the hard one for me, aligning our will, my will, with His. For those of you who are married, prayer is not unlike, I would say, date night. Date night is the intentionality of a couple to put their marriage front and center and to care for it, pour into it. And similarly, prayer, our connection with God, is our way of keeping our relationship with Jesus Christ front and center. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go through verses 5 through 8. These are Jesus' words. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Oh, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is the word of the Lord. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we praise and honor you this day. Thank you for these words from Matthew that open up your invitation to connect with us through prayer. Help us to set aside time with you each and every day. Lord, open our eyes to see you and our ears to hear from you. I pray that you will transform the human words from my mouth to be truly your words for each one of us today. In the precious name of our risen and reigning Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The very next line in this scripture that we just read from Matthew is, Lord, teach us to pray. And you know the rest. Jesus teaches his disciples what we now call the Lord's Prayer. The disciples have been traveling with Jesus for some time when we meet them at this moment in Scripture. They've watched Jesus withdraw to the deserted places to pray. They've witnessed Jesus pray over the sick and the lame and pray over the 5,000 to be fed. Teach us to pray, Lord. The Lord's Prayer, our Christian equivalent of a liturgical prayer, recited out loud in community, is similar to the Jewish prayers that Winner talks about. She discusses how liturgical prayers can become or be thought of as boring or dull. And she says this, if roteness is a danger, it is also the way that liturgy works. When you don't have to think all the time about the words you're going to say next, you are free to fully enter into the act of praying. you are free to participate in the life of God. She goes on to recount a story about Granddaddy Gatewood, a brilliant man, aged in his years and experiencing mental decline. And although at this point he could no longer count to 10, he could recite the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. God buried these liturgical prayers deep within him. There is a place for liturgical prayers spoken in community for all of us. Teaching the disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer liturgically, it makes sense to me because Jesus is teaching his Jewish disciples to pray in a manner that was similar to the prayers that they knew. As devout Jewish men, his disciples have been praying liturgically their whole lives. But the way that they've witnessed Jesus praying, it's different. It's intimate. Jesus models a close and cherished relationship with Abba, with his Father. And the disciples too long for that connection. Teach us to pray, Lord. Prayer is the connection. It's what all of us long for, that connection with God. And it's why, for the second time in my adulthood, I traveled 6,000 miles to go walk a portion of the Camino de Santiago again. My experience with God this year was similar to my experience 10 years ago. God felt very close to me on the Camino. My relationship with him felt tangible. As if Pat were standing right next to me, I felt God tarrying with me along the path. But this year, I was able to form into words an explanation that I could not 10 years ago. And it is this. On the Camino, I felt the veil between God and me was very thin. Jesus died to break the veil between God and his children, and the veil in the temple was indeed torn. He accomplished that. But in our human experience, we continue to construct a veil between us and God. Danny said it beautifully when he talked about the distractions, the noises, the to-do lists, all of our other responsibilities. And prayer is that intentional time that we make for God, and it begins to unravel that veil. As we pick up the scriptures in Matthew 6, verse 5, Matthew is providing an admonishment to those who would act like hypocrites, standing noticeably in public places and praying so loudly that their piousness could be witnessed by all. In my 30 years as a Christian, I've come across very few folks like that, that get up and are pious. Most people I encounter are afraid or reluctant to pray in public. Some are just simply afraid of public speaking. Some think, oh gosh, if I open my mouth, I might say the wrong words. Others don't feel worthy. Who am I to get up and pray, to pray for you, to pray for you? And then some, the humanity in us, compare what might come out of our mouths to what comes out of the mouths that we hear of people who do pray and are much more comfortable praying out loud, and we don't feel like we could be as eloquent. My friends, public prayer is not a performance. It's a sincerity in us connecting and communicating with God. And it's not about impressing others. The focus is on the heart attitude that we have behind the prayer, not about the words that come out in the outward form. Our worthiness to pray, our authority to pray for others and to pray out loud, comes from God and only from God and not from our own abilities. It's about connecting those who we're praying for with a communion with God. And God is the very one. In fact, God is the only one that can answer our prayers. Prayer is for talking with God, expressing our gratitude for this beautiful day and the fact that we're not in 100-degree heat, for asking for help, for petitioning God for one another. Prayer, too, as Danny said, is a time for listening. We listen for God, for his wisdom, for his direction. Patsy Claremont, I think many of you know her. She's a writer, she's a speaker, she's a humorist. She relates a story where she was in a hospital and she felt the Holy Spirit nudging her to go and pick up the hand of a woman who was lying on a gurney just away from her. Oh, you can imagine what the words are. She's going to think I'm crazy, God. I can't go up to a stranger and just pick up her hand. They're going to have me committed. I'm going to end up in the mental ward. I can't do that, Lord. And so she let the moment pass. She later found out that woman died. She lovingly... She realized that she had been the one to miss sharing God's love. And she lovingly refers to this incident as a whooping from the Lord. That's when we hear God clearly and we choose not to follow his leading, or maybe are too scared to follow his leading. And then we have to grapple with the outcome of not being a part of his plan. Prayer is the cornerstone. It's the very foundation of our relationship with God. It's how we communicate. It's how we confess. It's how we receive wisdom. It's how we are forgiven. And it's how we are loved unconditionally. It's where we find our worth, and where we find our purpose. The words pray or prayer show up more than 300 times in the Bible, in the English translation of the Bible. And if we add related words like intercession, supplication, ask, petition, then that number doubles. The Gospels record Jesus praying 25 times. And in Paul's letters, he references prayers more than 40 times. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing, to maintain an ongoing conversation and relationship with God throughout our daily lives. We have a whole book of the Bible dedicated just to prayer. The book of Psalms. And the word prayer is mentioned in every single book of the Bible, except for Esther. However, Esther talks a lot about fasting, and fasting and prayer are deeply connected. God has made it a point to etch prayer throughout the scriptures so we can't miss it, and to make sure that we understand it. God desires, He's fashioned us for this relationship. Verse 6 encourages our prayers to be in secret, our personal time communing with God the Father. And Jesus modeled this for us when he separated himself from the crowds and even from his own disciples to go into a private place where he could pray and spend time with his Father. Praying in private fosters that intimacy that we all long for with God. Our time in prayer is essential for developing a deep and abiding relationship with our Father. And our commitment to prayer demonstrates our trust in God, and it demonstrates our dependence on God. Walking the Camino for me was the only way I could see to find quiet in my life, and it definitely demonstrated my dependence on God and trust in Him. Unlike by Camino in 2014, in 2024, there's an app. There is a Camino app that will show you the walking directions. So I dutifully downloaded the app, and on my first day of the Camino, I looked like this. And I realized, that's not the way to do the Camino. I'm going to miss the beauty of God all around me. I'm going to miss it if I keep my nose in my phone. So thank you very much. I closed the app and it did not get opened again. The Camino is well marked. It has these yellow arrows that point the way. But you need to have your nose up and looking for those arrows to see which way to go next. And part of my journey was that reliance on God, that those arrows, that He would use them to point my way. As I said, on the Camino, the veil between God and me is thin. And what I mean by that is God was answering my spoken and my unspoken prayers in very tangible ways. If I thought, gosh, I'm getting a little hungry, or I think I'm going to need a restroom soon, really shortly thereafter, the path would open up and there would be a lone cafe ready to feed me. Beautiful bathrooms across the Camino. You would not think that, but not a single dirty bathroom once. Not in 2014 and not this year. It's kind of amazing. Or when the sun was really warm, it would shine brightly and I'd get hot and I'd pray for some relief. And then in the seconds following, a cloud would go in front of the sun. And I'd have respite, or the path would turn and I'd be under a canopy of tree cover. He answered every question, every prayer, every need, every desire. One of the funniest moments was my knee started to hurt. And so as I'm walking, I'm thinking, gosh, if I could just stretch out my quadricep, my knee would feel better. I know it would, but it was a downward dirt path, and there wasn't any place for me to hold on to literally to do this, to stretch this out. And then, of course, God is all about turning corners. I turned the corner, and my friend Shelley, who was just a few paces ahead of me, but enough to have gotten out of sight, was swinging on this huge tree branch like a little kid back and forth. And I thought, oh my gosh. So I walked up to her. She is giggling and glee is coming out of her. And I reached up to that tree branch and I stretched out my quadricep. And I promise you, nowhere before and nowhere after had there ever been a big tree branch arcing over the Camino path. It was truly an answer to prayer. Verse 8 reminds us that our Father knows our needs before we ask. Our prayers are offered in confidence that God's fatherly care will take care of us, that we can trust that He hears us. We can trust that He knows what we need, whether we actually form a prayer or not. As I was reflecting on prayer and how my prayer life has grown and changed in 30 years, I was thinking back to early on in prayer. I used to treat my prayer time, and I chuckle, as like a time to inform God. Okay, I'm sitting down, let's get out the newspaper. Okay, God, this is what's going on. This is what I need, this is what I'm working on, these are the answers I need from you, this is who I'm praying for. As if He doesn't know before we even realize. Prayer is literally about relationship, my relationship with Father God. It is a loving, genuine, back and forth communication. And when I really commit and find that private place, it is like date night. And we don't need to babble or have lots of words for God or even struggle to find the right words. We just need to set aside the time and that quiet place where we won't be bothered and we won't be distracted. And we can just talk to God. So, how shall we apply today's scripture? Any idea what the first application might be? Pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everyone who said that you were listening. Set aside daily time if you don't already do that. Find a secret place where you can abide with God and deepen your relationship with Him, and I promise you, you will feel the veil thinning. Application 2 is my challenge to you. Pray out loud in public, but not how the hypocrites do it, to be noticed. When somebody needs prayer, I encourage you to stop, listen to them, and pray right there for them, and not take the easy answer and say, I will hold you in my prayers. And I don't doubt that any of you would, but I challenge you to pray right then there. God will give you what you need. And guess what? Even if you, after you've prayed out loud for somebody, feel like you were just a colossal, bumbling fool, I guarantee you that is not what they would have heard. It is not. There's a way that the Holy Spirit takes the words coming out of your mouth and translates them almost into another language to touch the person that you're praying for. And if God nudges you to hold the hand of a stranger on a gurney, I hope that you do. Go right up to them confidently, introduce yourself, pick up their hand, and be present. And risk looking, perhaps, a little crazy. And application 3, make a commitment right now to pray both privately, daily, and pray publicly as the Lord guides you. And keep doing it, even if at the moment You don't feel the miracles, but they will come. Will you please pray with me? Holy, merciful, and loving God, thank you for the gift of prayer and for your invitation to be in an intimate relationship with you, Creator of the universe. We pray, Lord, that you would break down any barriers that keep us from communing with you daily. Guide us to the secret places where we can meet in private with you. Give us the courage to pray out loud with others when they need you. Seal these truths, O Lord, on our hearts, in the strong and mighty name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. We're now at the place in our worship service, and it is a worshipful time where we're going to collect the tithes and offerings. Giving of our time and our talents and our resources is a part of our ongoing relationship with God and our ongoing relationship with each other in community. So I will call the ushers forward to collect our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you. I remember a while back when Tim and I were serving you all, Tim and I went to the hospital, and there was a person in the hospital, and she hadn't opened her eyes or movement for days. And I remember Tim sat next to her in a chair, and he said, "I'm going to read Psalm 23 to you." And as he started, you wouldn't imagine what happened. She opened her eyes, and she repeated Psalm 23 with him. That was amazing. Just like you said, that person. Well, let's pray together. Gracious God, as your people in worship, we gather around this table as we are here this day. We come broken, afraid, and shamed, and we find one another who greets us with open hands and grace and forgiveness. We fall into your arms, receive your forgiveness, and turn from our self-centered and worldly ways to follow you. We ask that you instill this communion with your body and blood, that they may stir new life and empower each of us to live faithfully as the people of God. From the depths of our hearts, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take your packets and open the top. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now please open the other side of the packet. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink.
Will you please pray with me? Lord, we are blessed by the sharing of this sacred supper, shared with one another in your presence. As we conclude our service, let it be a different week ahead because we have worshiped, because we have heard your word proclaimed, and because we have remembered your grace. Lead us forward in great thanksgiving and unshakable hope to your glory. And in the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Patty, would you like to come up?
Good morning, almost good afternoon. I'm Patty Ernest, and I've been the PCC choir president for a lot of years, and it's been such an honor. I've had a lot of good times, but you know, being a president also means that sometimes my job includes passing along some bad information, or sad information, I should say. Our choir director, Cornell Radulescu, met with the choir board a couple of weeks ago to inform us that he plans to retire from PCC Music Ministry as of August the 31st. He shared that he has health and family issues that need more attention. And I will let you in on a little thing. Magna, his wife, retired 2 or 3 years ago. And retirement is a lot better when you have both spouses retired, especially when you have family issues to take care of. Cornell spoke about how blessed he has been to have the opportunity to work with us. Cornell was first hired in 2004. He came as an accompanist and organist. Remember Tony, our dear, wonderful Tony? And then Tony passed away, and in I think 2012, is that correct? 2012. And Cornell became our choir director, and we hired another accompanist. And then in, let me see, trying to get all my dates straight. About 2017, Cornell's title was changed to director of music, which and choir director and organist. So I'm sure that in the next few weeks, Cornell is going to be telling us, giving us more information about what he plans to do. But I did want to let you know, so you can wish him good luck, and just give him your prayers. And Magna, too, because she's going to have her husband there all the time now. That's a Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. Sad news indeed. Sad news indeed. But happy, happy for him. I was just talking to some PCC members yesterday that had heard about it already from a choir member and said, gosh, you know, after, you know, 20 years, Cornell could phone in his job, I mean, but he doesn't. He doesn't. He treated every Sunday, every event, every concert, every holiday where we wanted special music as a big deal. And for the few minutes that we saw up front were many, many hours, more than I'm sure I even could realize, of work that went into the flawless presentations that we've been so blessed to experience and be a part of all of these years. This is new news, obviously, to the leadership team, to Pastor Jason and the leadership team, and it was really important. Jason wanted me to let you all know that we are firmly committed to a blended service. At this moment, we don't know what that will look like, but it is a commitment to continue to try and find a choir presence, and whatever that looks like, I don't know. And as Patty said, Cornell's here for another month. We are planning a celebration of his many, many years with us, and so more to come on that. And I understand that the covenant call will be available as of this afternoon, emailed this afternoon, and Cornell has a letter in it to each one of us on this. So kind of a sober way to end, but we will all pray for Cornell, and if needed, we will actually pray out loud with him. My highest hope for all of us is however God spoke to you today through the word and through the sermon, whether it's to spend more time with him, whether it's to be bolder in praying out loud, to pick up strangers' hands, whatever it is, whatever you heard is the message that God had for you. And I just pray more of that and lean into that. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you as you leave today and all week long until we return together again. May it be so.